The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now on 960 The Patriot, it's the Middle East Radio Forum, your chance to talk about the turmoil in the Middle East. To call in live, dial anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free at 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're listening from. Yes, my name is William Wolf, your host today. And as you probably are already aware, we are in the 19th year of broadcast, the longest running brokerage show in the history of the state of Arizona. And I'd like to thank my listeners for helping me do that by using the services of the advertisers. This show is available worldwide on the internet on my website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. Again, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. This time of year, it's noon in Arizona. It's 11 in the morning Pacific time, 2 in the afternoon Eastern time, and I believe it's 9 p.m. in Israel. In any event, thank you for listening. Thank you for spreading the word about Middle East Radio Forum. I have a great show for you today. I always think we have a great show, but especially today because I have returning guest Ken Timmerman. Yoni is not available today, so we're going to have Ken Timmerman and your calls. Ken, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Thank you very much. I love your expertise on the show because you focus in exactly on what the show needs here. Let me give you a brief introduction. I don't want to do too much, otherwise we won't have any show. Ken Timmerman is a nationally recognized investigative reporter and war correspondent who was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2006 for the work he has done to expose Iran's nuclear weapons program. And I will add, I found out about Ken when I read his book, Countdown to Crisis, that scared the heck out of me. Prominently featured in the documentary Uranium, Ken is one of the half dozen true experts on the Islamic Republic of Iran in the U.S. today. Since 1995, he has run the Foundation for Democracy in Iran, Iran.org, and regularly meets with Iranian dissidents overseas. He lectured on Iran at the Pentagon's Joint Counterintelligence Training Academy, JCITA, from 2010 to 2016. For the past 30 years, Ken has covered both sides of the Arab-Israeli conflict, interviewing radical imams and would-be suicide bombers in Gaza while reporting on the plight of Israeli citizens during the Hezbollah missile attacks of the 2006 war. As a young reporter in 1982, he was taken hostage by Palestinian guerrilla fighters in West Beirut when he was born again to his Christian faith. Ken, I thank you very much for being on the show today. The advertised topic today, which we're going to explore, is It's about the Biden debacles regarding Iran, Israel, and Soviet Union.
And Russia-Ukraine.
And Russia-Ukraine, not the Soviet Union. Yes. Yeah, so which one do you want to start with?
Well, you know, what everybody's talking about, Bill, we've got to talk about Ukraine and how we got here and where we're going, because it's a real disaster in the making.
Yeah, so we've all seen what's going on, and he's even threatening to use tactical atomic weapons, which scares everybody, I'm sure.
It does, and it should scare everybody, because little known to much of the American public, the Russian military, the Russian state, changed their doctrine on the use of nuclear weapons, on the first use of nuclear weapons a couple of years ago. And now they built into their strategic doctrine, the same way that our Pentagon puts out a strategic doctrine every year, actually, but they now have first use of tactical nuclear weapons in their strategic doctrine. They don't have to be attacked first. Their cities don't have to be attacked. They don't have to be in a global nuclear war with the United States. They can use nuclear weapons according to their doctrine in Ukraine if they feel that there is a threat to the Russian homeland or to the Russian state or to the regime of Vladimir Putin. Very, very dangerous.
I mean, how do you do that without causing the end of the world? And what really bothers me the most, I think, is we have one person, Putin, obviously. He may be insane, maybe not, but he has the power, basically, to destroy the world.
You know, that is indeed the question. And U.S. warfighters and strategists are having this problem. They conducted a war game in 2019. It was called a tabletop exercise to look precisely at what a Russian invasion of Ukraine would lead to, and they invariably got the global nuclear war. It began, of course, by a Russian invasion. The Russian invasion gets stalled on the ground. The Russians get frustrated. The Ukrainians do not capitulate. And so the Russians trot out some of their tactical nuclear weapons. Now, what people are not aware of is not, again, it's not a topic of front page news coverage or TV coverage, is that the Russians over the past 10 years or so have developed a whole panoply of very small yield nuclear weapons for the battlefield, for battlefield use. So
can you define small yield, please? I didn't realize there was a small yield.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Hiroshima was like 10 kilotons, roughly. They're talking about half a kiloton, a quarter of a kiloton, so one-tenth to one-twentieth of the size of Hiroshima. So instead of blowing up a city, they could blow up 10 city blocks. Instead of blowing up Kyiv, they get the entire government center in Kyiv where Zelensky has been holed up. So they take out Zelensky and his entire government with one of these tactical nuclear weapons. Now, we don't have that kind of doctrine in the U.S. military. As far as I'm aware, NATO doesn't have a doctrine of first use of nuclear weapons, and we don't have a great deal of written doctrine on how to use tactical nuclear weapons either, because we believe, and we have always believed this since the beginning of the nuclear age, that any nuclear use will ultimately become a strategic worldwide nuclear war. That's the problem. You have one guy, Putin, who thinks he can drop a nuke and nobody will care, and all the rest of us who think you drop a nuke, you're going nuclear, as we consider it popularly, which means you're going to global nuclear war.
So what do you think the United States and or the European allies would do if he does drop a few of these tactical nukes, takes out the government of Ukraine?
Well, I don't know, and I'm not sure that they know either.
No, nobody knows. I'm asking you to use your expertise to kind of try to postulate what will happen.
The wargaming exercises show that when Russia uses tactical nukes, we respond, and when we respond with a nuclear response, the Russians then use strategic nuclear weapons, and then we're in global nuclear war. That's what that's how the escalation begins. And I think what you're seeing on the ground, Bill, is that NATO and the United States are really very, very concerned about this. So they're trying to send messages to Putin: we are not going to escalate. For example, Zelensky on Friday asked the U.S. Congress to impose a no-fly zone. There's not a great deal of U.S. support. In fact, I haven't seen any, really, for a no-fly zone. The reason, Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary, who normally I don't have a great deal of respect for, I don't think he's very competent, but he said quite clearly, and I think correctly, that we don't want to have U.S. pilots directly in a shooting engagement with Russian pilots. That puts the United States on the front lines of the war. That has Zelensky suckering us into fighting his war for him. We're not going to do that. I pray that we're not going to do that. So far, even President-inept Biden has said we're not going to do that. Thank God.
So I'm just wondering, you know, he's asking for this no-fly zone. We can certainly understand why he's doing that. We can certainly understand your reasoning as to why it's not going to happen. But the slaughter on the ground is just becoming unbelievable with these poor refugees. I mean, they show these refugees on the news every night, children and women and men, and it just tears your heartstrings out. And you just wonder what the effect is going to be cumulative of days and days and days of these programs showing these poor refugees.
Well, and they should show them. I would also like to see a little bit more real war reporting. We haven't seen lots of that yet. Trey Yinks on Fox News has done a very, very little bit of it. He's very out of breath when he gets his helmet on and his bulletproof vest, his Kevlar, and the shelling is going on behind him. And I can tell you, I understand that. I've been in that situation myself. You tend to get a little out of breath when the shells are falling behind you and they start getting closer and closer, and you wonder whether the next one is for you. But I'd like to see more of that so we can get a sense of what's actually going on the ground. We're seeing, Bill, the fog of war. It's ongoing. Both sides are lying through their teeth. It's what always happens. Churchill warned us of that. He says in war, the first victim, the first casualty of war is the truth. The Ukrainians said they've killed 5,600 Russian soldiers. Nobody believes that. The Russians say they've had 500 casualties. Well, so that may be a low ball. So you put it in the middle of that, 2,500 dead maybe for the Russians, maybe 1,500. That's a lot. That's actually very significant. So this has been a costly, costly battle for the Russians. It's obviously been a costly battle for the Ukrainians and for the refugees that you see. But this is something we have not seen since World War II. The last time the Soviet Union invaded a sovereign state in Europe was in 1968, Czechoslovakia. People don't really remember that. But it wasn't like this. There were tanks in Prague, sure, but there wasn't a massive resistance. There wasn't a massive civilian bombing campaign. This is really just about... It's as bad as wars in the Middle East. It's as bad as Syria recently. And it's right in the heart of the European continent.
You know, I'm wondering if the Russian economy can continue to support this. I mean, you lose one tank, you lose one fighter jet. That's multi-millions of dollars. They don't have an economy like the United States. And I'm just wondering how long they can support this. I mean, even the ammunition is very expensive. They're going to run out of money to take care of this.
Well, it depends on how long it lasts. I think they got enough stockpiles, certainly, to finish this particular war. But more than that, I am concerned and heartened to see the decision by Visa and MasterCard, private company, to cancel the credit cards of Russians and to cancel the credit cards of Americans from being used in Russia or anybody else being used in Russia. The Russian oligarchs and the moneyed classes close to Putin are being isolated, and I've got to point out, is not, again, thanks to President inept Biden, who is late to the game. This was all decided last weekend. Last weekend, when Biden was vacationing at his home in Delaware, and Zelensky was in his bunker trying to lead the resistance of his country, and guess who came, who responded to the call? It was not us. It was the Europeans. It was the Germans, of all people. The Germans, who were the ones who were really the laggards, who did not want to go to war on behalf of Ukraine against Russia. They didn't want to cut off their own gas supplies from Russia. And it was the Germans who surprised us all. So things are changing very, very rapidly. And if you think you can sit home and ignore it, I would counsel you against that. This is a rapidly changing battlefield that is going to have implications for all of us, not just at the gas pump, in your 401k, and in your lives.
You know, the billionaires in Russia, and there are quite a few of them, they're really multi-billionaires, if they see their wealth being dissipated, being destroyed, how much power do they have to take Putin out of office?
Well, that's a question that everybody is asking right now. We don't know. We don't have a hard answer to that. But, you know, Putin is clearly enabled by this oligarch class, the made men of contemporary Russia. And if they turn on Putin, who's going to back him? You've got demonstrations in Moscow, which I'm sure many of our listeners have seen or caught glimpses of on cable news programs and elsewhere. These are very real. In a time of war, to have large-scale demonstrations in St. Petersburg against the war when everybody demonstrating knows that they risk getting arrested, and if they're arrested, you know, all kinds of horrible things could happen to them. It's courageous on the part of those Russians who are doing it, but it also shows this, the extent to which Putin himself is becoming isolated from his people and perhaps also from those oligarchs who are supporting him.
Yeah, and these are ordinary Russians you see in the streets, and they recognize what's going on, and they're certainly fighting it. But I think that the billionaires class that stand to lose their billions of dollars in this, I think they have got some real power and certainly interest in seeing what the future holds in terms of what they can or cannot do. Ken, we're coming up on the first break of today's show. As you know, we have three breaks. We'll get back to you after the break, and please get your questions in. I look forward to hearing from anybody who has a question for a real expert, Ken Timmerman. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolfe. I'm your host today. We alternate usually with Mayor Jalvis, but next Sunday will be Dave Rothschild. In any event, please continue to help me bring the show to you. The best way to do it is, of course, is by using the services of the advertisers. The advertisers are what pay for the show. This is a brokerage show. I have to pay for the time each and every week. And the way I'm able to do that is I have these wonderful advertisers and wonderful listeners who support the advertisers. But please, it's very, very important to let the advertisers know that you're doing so because they advertise on this program. They need to know that their advertising dollars are being well spent. People have asked me how they can support the show if they can't use the advertisers. Well, direct donations are certainly welcome. You can send a check to me, William J. Wolfe, at my office, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix 85020. The address again, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix, Arizona 85020. I appreciate the direct donations, but really, please try to use the services of the advertisers. Often it costs you nothing to support this show. What I mean by that is just switch where you're spending money from somebody who does not advertise to somebody who does. I know each and every one of the advertisers personally. They give great goods and services. You'll be very happy spending your money with them as opposed to somebody who does not advertise. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with Ken Timmerman. DeSoe and Macris are my business and personal CPAs for a good reason. Prompt and accurate work means I trust them with all my accounting needs. Conveniently located just off the 51 freeway at 3519 East Shea Boulevard, Suite 122, give them a call and see what they can do for you. 602-996-8885. That's DeSoe and Macris, 602-996-8885. There are a lot of great Mexican restaurants in Phoenix, but I am very particular. When I want the best Mexican lunch or dinner, I head straight to Mi Patio on the southeast corner of 7th Avenue and Osborne. They serve all your favorite dishes and only use pure vegetable oil in their cooking. Mi Patio is sure to become your favorite Mexican restaurant, too. That's Mi Patio Mexican Restaurant on the southeast corner of 7th Avenue and Osborne. Tell them that William Wolfe sent you there. Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning Offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services. How do you choose your accident injury attorney? If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from seeing an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I do not advertise on TV or billboards, but only on this radio show. I give all clients personal attention. Your phone calls are never intercepted by some untrained assistant. I take all calls if I am available or return calls at my earliest opportunity. I was named Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association 2 years ago and have 48 years of experience. So think about it and choose your accident attorney wisely. My number is 602-279-1914, and my office is located at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. I personally welcome your call. Again, 602-279-1914.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolfe.
Welcome back to today's very important edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolfe. My guest is Ken Timmerman. We're talking about Ukraine, of course. That's certainly in the news, to say the least. Ken, I would like you to address something that President Biden said, kind of contrasting a minor incursion into Ukraine with a major invasion. I can't believe he even said that it would be okay. Maybe he didn't say it was completely okay, but he did make a contrast between a minor incursion and an invasion. You want to discuss that, please?
Sure. This is one of many, many strategic errors made by, again, President inept Biden. I don't like to have to criticize the president when we're in a real, authentic national security crisis. But in many, many ways, this is a crisis we brought upon ourselves. It could have been avoided. Notice, for 4 years under President Trump, there was never any threat to invade Ukraine. We were supporting Ukraine at that time. We were giving them weapons. President Trump gave them weapons. He put sanctions on Russia. There was never a threat by Putin to invade Ukraine while Donald Trump was president, because when Trump made a threat, he carried out on it. In the beginning of 2021, you know, just 2 months after Biden took office in March, the Russians began their first buildup, military buildup, again, saying that they were going to have exercises on Ukraine's borders. But this was, of course, internal Russian exercises. We're not going across the border. Biden said, and Lloyd Austin, who in the previous segment I actually complimented for his behavior now, Lloyd Austin also said, if Russia invades Ukraine in the next couple of weeks, March, April of 2021, we will respond militarily. That was an incredibly stupid thing to say. I hate to say it. It was stupid because we were treating Ukraine as if they were a member of NATO. And we were invoking Article 5, which says that if any member of NATO is attacked, all members of NATO will respond militarily. And that's what Biden and Lloyd Austin said. We will respond militarily if Russia invades Ukraine. And then fast forward to that press conference that you're talking about now, where Biden said, well, if we have just a minor incursion, we're not going to do anything. The Russians, Putin in particular, they read the Biden. They got his measure. First, from his response to the fake invasion of March and April, that fake buildup in March and April, and then the withdrawal from Afghanistan, which was an unmitigated disaster, and then his consistent refusal to allow U.S. oil and gas companies to pump U.S. oil. Another decision Biden made, again, on day two or day three of his presidency, was to lift the sanctions on the Russian pipeline to Germany, Nord Stream 2. And he said, okay, it's all right for you to pump oil into Europe, but we're shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline that he did the day before, and we're shutting down every other pipeline we can, whether it's in Alaska, whether it's drilling on government lands, whatever. And so he sent a green light to Putin. You go ahead. You can export all the oil and gas you want. I am being run by these green energy extremists in Washington, and I'm going to shut down our production so even the United States will become hostage to your strategies to leverage your oil and gas exports. So we have basically, U.S. government under Biden has basically made every possible mistake, quite probably, I think, the most significant of which was to cheapen U.S. deterrence and to make phony threats, false threats, which he knew at the time we could not carry through on.
You know, Ken, we've heard a lot of talk about stopping the importation of Russian oil. I guess it's, 600,000 barrels a day at $100 or plus per barrel. It's an incredible amount of money financing the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Do you think there's any chance they're going to stop importing this Russian oil?
Yes, I think that's going to stop. But it's, again, no thanks to the administration. We've heard Jen Psaki, as well as Biden himself, pay lip service to stopping it, but then Jen Psaki said, "Well, you know, that's all being done by private oil companies. We can't really, as a federal government, impact that." Of course you can. Congress this past week, led by Republicans, has put numerous bills on the table, all rejected by Democrats, that would ban the import of Russian oil and reopen the Keystone XL pipeline, because the Democrat Party is beholden to these green energy zealots. They do not want to see those two things coupled together. They're willing to ban Russian oil, but not if we propose, or Republicans propose, an alternative in terms of U.S. production to take its place. We're going to have $150 barrel oil, folks. We may have $180 barrel oil within 2 to 3 weeks. The repercussions of shutting off Russia's sales around the world by the economic sanctions in particular that were put in place by the Germans and the Swiss and the European Union last week, not by the United States, that will take 2 to 3 weeks to kick in. And when it does, we'll be paying $5 to $6 for gasoline at the pump, and oil would be at $150 to $180 a barrel.
I don't understand why the Biden administration is being held hostage by these Green New Deal people. What is the hold they're having over him?
Well, that's a good question. I can't answer that, Bill. I really can't answer it, except that it is a zealotry. It is the Green New Deal has replaced abortion as the religion of the left. They now believe that the God of green energy is going to save them from the end of the world. Remember, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, otherwise known as Sandy the Bartender, said when she was first elected that we had 10 years before we were all going to die because of global warming. Well, you know, that's a fantasy. It's a sick fantasy, but it's a complete, utter fantasy. There may be, because of global warming trends, which extend over 1,500 years, it may be that the Earth is is 1 degree Celsius warmer in 100 years from now. In the meantime, you're going to have hundreds of millions of people who die because of the economic consequences of shutting them off from cheap and clean natural gas, cheap fuel from the West, not just in the United States, in Africa, in other countries in the third world. It is absolutely unconscionable, and yet the green energy zealots think it is so important for us to transition to green energy that they're willing to allow Putin to continue selling oil around the world while prohibiting American oil and gas manufacturers from producing it here at home.
You know, it just makes me crazy when I hear about all this Green New Deal and the influence on the Biden administration. We've got this mid-year election coming up, and to me it looks like it's going to be a landslide for the Republicans, both in the House and in the Senate. And I'm just wondering, you're still going to have Biden in the White House. What is it going to be with a completely dominated Republican Congress? That's an interesting question. Props, we'll pick that up after the break, which we're coming on to now. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolfe. I'm your host today. Next Sunday, Dave Rothschild will be the host. Please tune in for that show, and please continue to support me by using the services of the advertisers. I say this all the time, multiple times every program, because without the advertisers, there is no Middle East Radio Forum. We're in the 19th year of broadcast, and I'd like to continue doing so. So please get the great goods and services from my advertisers, and very importantly, please tell them you're doing so because they're advertising on this program. I've got some empty space. If somebody would like to advertise on the program, please let me know. Or if you have suggest a business who might want to advertise that I can contact, please let me know. My office phone is 602-279-1914. I welcome your calls regarding the show. And, of course, I welcome your calls if you have any questions about a personal injury case. That's what I do. Believe it or not, I have 50 years of experience. I was first admitted to practice law in 1971, and so that's 50 years of experience, and I'd like to help you if you have any problems. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with my very special guest, Kenneth Timmerman. Friends of the Israel Defense Forces offers educational, cultural, recreational, and social services that provide hope, purpose, and life-changing support for the soldiers who protect Israel. FIDF is the sole organization authorized to collect donations on behalf of the soldiers of the IDF. For more information or to make a donation, please visit FIDF.org or call 323-843-2690. Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning Offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services. Maryland Deli and Mini Mart on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland is much more than just a great Shell station and Mini Mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland and Phoenix. That's Maryland Deli and Mini Mart, 602-277-6269. My name is William J. Wolfe, host of Middle East Radio Forum since 2003. As you may know, I am a personal injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was just awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I handle all types of personal injury and wrongful death cases. Unlike many other attorneys, especially the high-volume TV advertising attorneys, I do go to court if necessary to obtain the best possible resolution for all my clients. It is often impossible to obtain the best possible result if your lawyer does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. If you have a claim, please call me for a free initial consultation at 602-279-1914. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Again, call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and making sure that you obtain the best possible recovery. Call 602-279-1914 and please continue to support Middle East Radio Forum.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free, 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolfe.
Welcome back to today's very important edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolfe. My guest is Ken Timmerman. And I've got some emails and a live question. But, Ken, I'd like you to respond to the possibility of a Republican landslide at this off-year election and what that will do to these Green New Deal people and the policies they want to be enforced.
Well, Bill, if all is held, if these elections are held legally, responsibly, without tremendous interference from Democrat operatives sponsored by Mark Zuckerberg has happened in 2020. I expect you're right. There is going to be a Republican landslide. Many of the states that went to Biden inexplicably in 2020 had their rules changed at the last minute by those Democrat operatives, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia in particular, I mean, Arizona as well, to allow massive use of mail-in balloting, to allow ballot harvesting, to allow Democrat operatives to go into nursing homes. We just had a report this week from the Wisconsin special counsel, a retired Supreme Court justice, the chief justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, who found that they allowed illegals to vote. They had nursing homes where 100% of registered voters, included many who were deceased, had voted in 2020. He found so many violations of election law, he actually sketched out a way that the Wisconsin legislature could reclaim their electoral votes from 2020. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but what I do think is because of reports like that, because of evidence that's coming out, investigations that are taking place in Arizona as well, that the laws are going to be returned to where they should be, where you have a voter ID and that it tries to prevent obvious blatant voter fraud by stuffing the ballot boxes. If that happens, you're right. Republicans are going to win a massive landslide in 2022. And for the next 2 years, Biden and his green energy zealots and their program is going to be blocked. It will be totally blocked. There won't be. And this will be a case where gridlock is good. They will not get a single bill through the legislature, through a Republican legislature that would support the Green New Deal.
Okay, thank you for that response. Let's go to a call. Jack at Scottsdale, you're on the air.
Yes, appreciate it. Every time Mr. Timmerman comes on, I get more fearful.
Read his book on the Islamic bomb. It'll even scare you more.
Yeah, I will do that. Russia and China apparently met before the invasion, and China apparently agreed to support them, and they obviously did that with their vote withheld in the UN. I see the same kind of thing happening with China.
Jack, I really need you. Please ask your question.
Okay. Additionally, Russia has been representing the United States, I guess, in these nuclear Iran deal negotiations, which is kind of strange. And if that's the case, that would be the bomb would be available probably sooner rather than later. And if that happens and China and Russia so by our locking arms, doesn't that provide a real opportunity for Iran to do the EMP with the support of China and Russia? And that just neutralizes the United States forever. Question.
Jock, thanks for the question. Yeah, thank you for that question, and thank you for listening carefully and being so well informed. You're absolutely right about this, about everything you've said. The Russians and the Chinese have a strategic alliance. It is a military alliance as well as an economic alliance. We saw the economic piece of it fall into place just this week after Visa and MasterCard canceled their services in Russia. The Chinese turned around and said, oh, not to worry. We're going to reissue everybody who has a Visa or MasterCard in Russia a Chinese card, and we will allow you to conduct online purchases and whatever transactions you want to do around the world. And we haven't done anything about that because China is not a party to the conflict.
Ken, one minute.
Point.
1 minute.
Okay. As far as the nuclear deal is concerned, I am so glad that you pointed that out. It is not very well known. The Russians are absolutely leading the negotiations. A guy named Ulyanov in Vienna who's leading those negotiations. And guess what? As part of the deal, should it get finalized, and Biden is going to agree to anything. It's whether the Russians and the Iranians get as many goodies as they want. But as far as the deal is, it's now being talked about, the Russians are going to get an immediate $500 million payment from Iran for past work that they've done on their, quote, civilian nuclear facilities. And, Iran will be able to continue to enrich uranium, and basically they will have a pathway to the bomb. By the way, right now they already have enough highly enriched nuclear material to make one bomb. And I am certain that they have other underground, undeclared enrichment sites where they have more highly enriched uranium.
Okay, Ken, I've got to stop you there. We are coming up on the final break before the final segment of today's show. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. Please continue to support the show by using the services of the advertisers. And please, please tell them you're doing so because they advertise on this program. We try to give you the very finest guests on Middle East Radio Forum, the best commentary and news that perhaps you can't get anywhere else. I'd like to keep doing it. Again, we're in the 19th year of broadcast. We're not a flash in the pan, so we're very substantial. We want to continue to be a service to the community. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with Ken Timmerman and your questions.
Document Solutions of the Valley offers one of the lowest prices for your printer cartridge needs. Aside from free delivery, we even offer free cleaning for your office or personal printers. Document Solutions is a locally owned and employer-operated company that has been servicing Arizona companies' needs for over 36 years. For more information or printer cartridge pricing, call 623-252-8282 and ask for Richard. Again, that's 623-252-8282. And get treated like family.
Maryland Deli and Mini Mart on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland is much more than just a great Shell station and Mini Mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland and Phoenix. That's Maryland Deli and Mini Mart, 602-277-6269. Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe has terrific sushi, salads, rice and noodle dishes, soup, and even great pasta. On the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, it will become your favorite Asian restaurant. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum for more than 10 years, it is simply the best place for a great Asian lunch or dinner. That's Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe, on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Telephone 602-248-9090. Texas Grill on the northeast corner of Bethany Home Road and 16th Street has been my favorite steakhouse for 31 years. Great food, especially their chicken fried steak, as well as daily specials in a comfortable setting, keeps me coming back for more. You just have to try it for yourself. Also a great Sunday brunch starting at 10 in the morning. That's Texas Grill on the northeast corner of Bethany Home Road and 16th Street. Give them a try and you will have a new favorite steakhouse too. My name is William J. Wolf, host of Middle East Radio Forum since 2003. As you may know, I am a personal injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was just awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I handle all types of personal injury and wrongful death cases. Unlike many other attorneys, especially the high-volume TV advertising attorneys, I do go to court if necessary to obtain the best possible resolution for all my clients. It is often impossible to obtain the best possible result if your lawyer does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. If you have a claim, please call me for a free initial consultation at 602-279-1914. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Again, call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and making sure that you obtain the best possible recovery. Call 602-279-1914 and please continue to support Middle East Radio Forum.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to the final segment of today's Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. My guest is Ken Timmerman. Ken, I apologize for cutting you off, but we're a slave to the computer here. Is there something else you wanted to say before I get to the next question?
No, except that, you know, election fraud is a very, very serious issue. But barring election fraud, we should win this big majority in November if the Democrats still want to hold elections.
Okay, very good. All right, there's an email from Marion in Cleveland. Question, do you think that Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett should be taking on the role of mediator between the Russians and the Ukrainians?
I do, and I think it's a very admirable effort on his part. Israel has had traditionally and recently a very good relationship with Vladimir Putin. Putin has not been anti-Israel. He has allowed the Israelis to bomb Hezbollah targets in Syria, for example. When Bibi Netanyahu was prime minister, he would repeatedly go to Russia before a major strike and discuss it with Putin, and then he would get the green light from Putin to attack those particular targets. So they have an established line of communication and trust with Putin, and they have very, very good ties with Ukraine. First of all, Zelensky is the grandson of a Holocaust survivor, but also because there are so many Israelis of Ukrainian origin living there today. So he is in a perfect role to serve as a mediator. So far, alas, I haven't seen any result of his attempts at mediation. He was offering to bring both sides to Jerusalem to hold talks, and Putin has refused to do that. Look, Putin has shown his intransigence, his total intransigence, with everybody who has spoken to him. And I've got to say, it is hard to understand what his real goals are here. I was among many, many other commentators who thought at the very beginning, before the shooting started, that if Putin went in, he would just go into eastern Ukraine, areas of predominantly Russian population, say, okay, we're going to support this separatist movement. We're going to help their effort to set up a separatist republic. And then we're out of here. We're done. That's all that we intend to do, and that's all that we're going to do. And that's when Biden was calling that a minor incursion, and he approved of that. But that obviously was not Putin's plan. You see Putin today devastating civilian neighborhoods throughout the country. These are war crimes on their face. Putin claims that the Russian people and the Ukrainian people are one people. Well, in that case, why is he slaughtering innocent civilians? It makes no sense. And I really do not understand the strategy behind Putin's war fighting, the way that he's fighting this war, if he wants to render Ukraine a neutral country, a buffer state between Russia and the NATO pact, something that could be arguably might make some sense strategically, but it doesn't require war to do that. I think there's a disconnect here. There's a really serious disconnect between what Putin is actually doing and what his stated goals are, and I find it very troubling, very worrying. Something we don't understand.
You know, sometimes I think you get into a situation and it kind of takes on a life of its own. I don't know if he was really intending initially to do what he's doing now, but it certainly has developed into this massacre. I have a question here from Holland, Alberto. He's a longtime listener. It's similar to the last question. I'm just going to read it exactly. He says, Bennett wants to negotiate for a ceasefire, but you know what Putin wants. He wants war, a big Russia. So why would you negotiate with Putin? And is this the start of World War III?
Well, it may be the start of World War III. The Russians have threatened that many times, and it's actually not just Putin. It's also their foreign minister, Lavrov, who everybody has thought until now was a so-called moderate, a rational, reasonable person you could talk to. Lavrov this week has been telling the Europeans and Biden that if World War III begins out of this Ukraine war, it will be a nuclear war. Absolutely astonishing. So, yes, you want to negotiate. You want to open up humanitarian corridors to allow civilians to escape the rapaciousness of the Russian, the viciousness of the Russian assault. By the way, Zelensky has been able to negotiate that twice. The Russian agreed to it twice. And the Russians have violated those humanitarian corridors out of Mariupol twice already just this week. You want to keep on doing it because there's so many innocent lives at stake. That's something that you've got a constant responsibility to do, to protect the innocent as far as you can.
Okay, thank you for that question, Alberto. Another question by email, Jan in Sun City. She writes, Farek Toth on his AM960 radio show this morning asked if the Keystone Pipeline is a private company. Why do they have to shut down in the first place? Can they sue the government?
That's a great question. Yes, they are a private company. It's privately owned, but they require government permits. And Biden, on the second day of his presidency, canceled those permits in January of 2021. And the latest reports I've seen is that the company is now, they've given up hope completely, and they're starting to actually dig up pipe to use it elsewhere. That pipeline was built to bring in 800,000 barrels a day of oil from Alberta, Canada. into the United States, into our refineries. That would have more than offset the Russian oil we're going to lose, the 600,000-700,000 barrels a day of Russian oil, and which we ought to lose as soon as possible. But no, the zealots, the green energy zealots, don't want that to happen.
We've gone through all these stupid things that the, and tragically stupid things that the Biden administration has done regarding Ukraine. You want to talk about Israel? You want to talk about Iran in the about 8 minutes we have to go?
Well, let's go on to the Iran nuclear deal, because it's extraordinary that in the midst of this crisis, the United States government has allowed Russia to be the driving force behind a new Iran nuclear deal. They say it's imminent. It's going to happen in the next 48 hours. They've been saying that for the past 4 days. They've been saying that it's going to happen any time for the past 3 months, by the way. But they've allowed the Russians to be the lead negotiators. This agreement, should it take place, and I'm absolutely convinced that the administration wants it to happen, the U.S. administration wants it to happen, will entail Iran getting $50 billion of frozen assets released so they can fuel their terror programs, they can fuel their nuclear programs again. It will also allow both Russia and China to provide an unlimited supply of, quote, civilian nuclear technology to Iran. Now, what is considered civilian versus military nuclear technology is sometimes in the eye of the beholder. The Iranians are going to argue that centrifuge technology, enrichment technology, is all civilian because it's aimed at giving them nuclear fuel for their power reactors. Well, we know that's not true. That's just a legend. That's a legend that they've created to make us believe that they have a civilian program. They don't. They have a nuclear weapons program. So what this Iran nuclear deal is going to do is allow Russia and China to become the primary suppliers of all goods and technologies that the Iranians need. Now, so you ask the follow-up to this is, so why would Russia and China want a nuclear-armed Iran? People have asked me many times, doesn't that threaten the Muslims in the Russian Muslim republics? Doesn't that encourage the Muslim republics to revolt against Moscow? The answer is no, it doesn't, because the Russians have made it very clear to the Iranians, and they've done this since 1982 in Beirut. They made it very, very clear, you will not attack us or you will pay a huge price. In 82, there were terrorist attacks against the Russian embassy in Beirut. They took hostage four KGB members. The Russians rounded up the family members of all the hijackers, and they killed them. And they let them know, don't ever do it again. The Iranians never did it again. During the Afghanistan war in the 80s, there were 2 to 3 million Afghan refugees in Iran, just as there were in Pakistan. In Pakistan, the United States was operating, organizing them, giving them Stinger missiles, giving them military training, and sending them back in to fight the Soviets. In Iran, nobody was sending anybody back in to fight the Soviets because the Russians told the Iranians, don't you dare do this. And by the way, we'll buy you off. We're going to sell you weapons so you can fight our other ally, Saddam Hussein. It's really something. Today, there is the Russians and the Chinese both see a nuclear-armed Iran as a deterrent to the United States. They see a nuclear-armed Iran as a means of diminishing American power. They see a nuclear-armed Iran as helping them, Russia and China, to gain access to the Persian Gulf and to the warm seas and to diminish our presence in those areas. Just in the beginning of February, the three countries, Russia, China, and Iran, held joint naval military exercises just outside of the Strait of Hormuz, through which about 25% of the world's oil exports transit every day. This is the third year in a row they've done it. So these three countries are military and strategic allies, and they intend to remain that way. And for reasons which are completely inexplicable, except for ineptitude and short-sightedness, the Biden administration has allowed that to continue. And they are allowing Russia to benefit from this Iran nuclear deal, to the extent that the Russians themselves have said, we want to make sure that your sanctions against us do not prevent us from doing business with Iran, military business, technical business, and nuclear business.
Okay.
Ken,
I have to ask you, how does Biden have the power to do this? He can't do a treaty without Congress. I know Obama did it without Congress. It really wasn't, legally, it wasn't a deal. How does this, the mechanics work to get the so-called Iran New Deal into focus, into action?
Well, he can do it as an executive action, which is what Obama did in 2015. The problem with that, since it was not a congressionally authorized treaty, was that President Trump could undo it. What they are trying to do now in the negotiations, and I'm not privy to the technical details of how they think this is going to work, they are trying to put in some kind of binding provisions that would prevent President Trump, when he comes back into office in 2025, from undoing the deal a second time. I'm not sure they can do it, but that is absolutely their goal, and they're stating it publicly. The Russians want to make sure they can continue doing business with Iran, and that U.S. sanctions are not going to stop them, and the Iranians want to make sure the United States in the future cannot renege on this deal and put new sanctions on their nuclear weapons program.
And it just seems like the Biden administration is just hell-bent to put things into motion that are going to destroy the United States. If that seems to be the essence of it.
It is the essence of it, Bill. I hate to say it. I don't see any other way of analyzing it, any other explanation for this. It is so wrong-headed. You would think a 12th grader who had taken, you know, 1 year of European history and 1 year of world history would understand what's going on. They don't. The people in the administration do not. You know, we have a Secretary of State who is part of the Soros empire that believes in one world government, a global government. You have a lot of the people running these negotiations who hold that same worldview that the United States, as a strong country, is at fault. We are the ones who cause wars. We are the one who cause trouble around the world. And the best thing that they could do in office is to limit American power. Well, that's what they're doing right now. They're limiting American power. They're limiting America's oil independence, oil and gas, energy independence, and they're making us beholden to countries like Russia and Iran.
Well, okay. Boy, I'm depressed even more than I was to start the show. Can I give you 2 more minutes to sum up anything you'd like to?
Well, I don't like to leave our our listeners on a note of depression. I watched a wonderful short segment on, I think it was Fox News the other day, an interview with a British former Special Forces officer with a gap tooth. He is a handsome guy. He looked like the grandson of a Gurkha, you know, of the British Gurkhas. And he'd say, well, me and the lads here, we saw how the Russians fought. And that, boy, that just got us into this battle because we can do them in pretty quick. You've got now this international brigade, which the U.S. is not sponsoring and not supporting in any way, but you've got special forces, legionnaires from France, from Germany, from Britain, from the United States, joining together to help the Ukrainians, to train them so they know how to resist, how to be effective against the Russians. Because I will say this, the Russians have already said they're going to carry out collective reprisals against towns and villages and cities where resistance attacks are launched against them, exactly the way the Nazis did against the French during the occupation of World War II. Watch out for this, folks. This is coming, and you're going to see collective reprisals where what the Nazis did, if there was an attack, they would have all the men in the village, a line in the village square, and they'd count them off, and every 10th person they would take, and they'd execute them immediately, right there in front of all the others. That's what we're going to see in Ukraine in the coming weeks.
Ken Timmerman, I thank you very much for being a wonderful guest again. Obviously, I have to have you on again. The listeners write back to me. They thank me very much for having you on. So I get a lot of kudos from asking you to be on the show. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, and go to kentimmerman.com. You can sign up for my emails and follow what's going on.
Great, thank you. Okay, next Sunday, we're going to have, as I mentioned, Dave Rothschild. He's going to host Carl Goldberg. The topic is going to be Islamic anti-Semitism, the most taboo topic in the world, how the refusal to address it affects Muslim candidates for office, Muslim government appointments, campus anti-Semitism, and Israel. If you've ever listened to Dr. Goldberg, you know it's a great presentation. That's something not to miss. Please spread the word about that show. I believe next Sunday the world's going to be on daylight savings time. Arizona does not go on daylight savings time. So next Sunday it'll be noon here in Arizona and Pacific. It'll move to 3 p.m. Eastern time and 10 p.m. in Israel. Thank you for listening. Thank you for using the advertisers. And thank you for spreading the word about Middle East Radio Forum. I look forward to being on the show again, but next Sunday again, it'll be Dave Rothschild and Dr. Carl Goldberg. She's looking far
away. 3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.